In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the passages that we've heard this morning from St. Paul are taken words that all of us are familiar with. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is the Lord, the Christ, and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. But just after Paul says those famous words, he says something else. He says, it is with your heart that you believe, and with your mouth you confess. It is with the heart that we believe. Now, all of us here are probably aware that for Orthodox alone among Christians, the term the heart has a special meaning. It doesn't refer to the emotions or to the feelings. But this understanding of the heart is not just some hidden way of thinking, some special esoteric discipline type term. It is the way the heart is understood in Scripture. In Scripture, the heart is the deepest place of human spiritual knowledge. It is called the seat of wisdom. And we know that Christ, Jesus, is wisdom incarnate. So if the heart is the seat of wisdom, then the heart is the place where Jesus, the Christ, is enthroned. And the heart is also understood as the instrument by which we have faith in the Holy Spirit. So it's all about the heart. All that St. Paul is saying here as he discusses the difference between the Jews, whose faith is in the law and have a zeal but without knowledge of the righteousness that is Christ himself. The law was, St. Paul says, incapable of making us righteous. And the point is for us to be righteous. A righteous person is someone who will be able to act with righteousness. Not by matching up in their minds and considering things that they are about to do and deciding by matching them against the rules or the law, whether they should do them or not, and then struggling in their will to get themselves to go along with rules that they understand in their mind. But doing righteousness. And the law itself, according to St. Paul, as Moses explained, is a matter of people doing the things of the law. And if you do the things of the law, you are righteous. But just giving the law was insufficient. We had to be changed. Our hearts had to be changed. We had to be able to have faith that united us to God. Faith that made us one with Him. And because of Christ, we are able to have that kind of faith because our faith is in Christ's righteousness. And what kind of righteousness is Christ's righteousness? He is wisdom incarnate. He is good, truth, beauty, incarnate. He is the end of the law because in Him the law is made flesh, human flesh. He is fully human, but at the same time, He is fully God. And all of the law is fulfilled in Him because He is the living righteousness. And we are created as human beings in such a way that we can share in His human like us life, and yet at the same time, divine life. Righteousness that is a matter of faith in Christ is Christ's righteousness. We can't even say that he is the standard that we look to decide what to do. What would Jesus do? That's not close enough. We are able to unite ourselves to God through him. That's how close he is to us. We no longer have a life separate from him that we have to calculate and decide what we ought to do. We are able to be righteous with his righteousness and do the things of the law, as Moses said, because they are in our heart. Now, this term heart is strange to us in our modern society. Long ago, in the time of St. Gregory Palamas, Western Christians were already dissatisfied with this term, the heart. It is a biblical term, and it has a meaning of its own that can be known by the study of Scripture. But there was a dissatisfaction with it because it lacks precision. They preferred to think in terms of the faculties of the soul, and they numbered them 3: intellect, will, and emotion. And having divided the powers of the soul, they talked about what part belonged to intellectual thinking, what part belonged to our will, very much concerned with will. Because in the West, the idea is that we call the shots, you know. We decide what to do. It's all a matter of what I choose. It's all a matter of my will. If I find that I have sinned, broken some rule, done something that I ought not to have done, we take issue with our will. We accuse ourselves of not having had a strong enough will to decide what to do. You see, we have, according to this way of thinking, a life independent of God. It's just a matter of us following his rules, being good enough, using our mind, using our will, using our emotions to inspire us, to make us feel like we should do what we know we ought to do in our mind and will to do but can't. All of that playing around with those abilities that belong to us are beside the point. We do what is in our hearts. However we might justify it or slice it up in such a way that we don't have to face the reality of the fact that our hearts are set on something other than God. That in our hearts, we do not believe in Christ. We believe in something else. Most probably, we believe in ourselves. The heart is the instrument of faith. If you believe in your heart, and you can't believe in your heart and not be moving toward him, wanting to unite yourself to him, wanting to be at one with him, if you believe in your heart, you will confess with your lips and you will do the things that are in your heart. That's the nature of faith. That's the nature of faith and nothing else. It's not a matter of what we feel. It's not a matter of what we think. It's not a matter of what we believe with our mind, with our intellect. It's not a matter of what we will ourselves to do and succeed or fail. It's a matter of what is in the center of who and what we are as a human being. And the scriptures call that our heart. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And it's not a matter of what he or she may think or what he or she may feel. It is what is in their heart. It's the innermost reality of what moves us. We build up treasures in our heart. In our heart is where you find out what you really find as the treasure of your life.
is not a strange, unusual, esoteric term. We understand instinctively what it means. The more we read Scripture, the more deeply we understand. Human beings are such that we can live according to God or according to the world. We can have life, and there is no life but God's life in us. And if there is life in us, it is God's life. And we act according to God in the world. That life passes through us human beings into His creation and lifts up His creation and fulfills it. And if there is something other than God that is in our heart, when we turn to His creation, it becomes raw material for us to fulfill our plans, our desires. We deal with it accordingly, and we reveal what is really and truly in our heart. And so passages that have very often been used to justify a kind of automatic confession by mouth, if you confess with your lips that in your heart you believe in Christ, you will be saved. Empty words. What is in the heart? Really. Not the mind, not the emotions, not the feeling, not the preference of our will, that it be one way as opposed to another way, preferably in a way that serves us. None of that confusion. If you believe in your heart and confess with your lips, then you will be saved. And incidentally, there's no way that you can make that into an after-the-fact sort of proposition. Because what is in your heart is ongoing. It's either there or it isn't. Is it in your heart or is it not in your heart that Jesus is the Christ? Do you turn away from the world and love God with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength? And your neighbor as yourself, because you can't divide those things up. Or don't you? What is in your heart? That is the place of faith. And so when we consider what is in our heart, and we match it up against the way that we've lived in the world just in the past 24 hours, suddenly we find a great number of things to confess to God about what has been in our heart and the things that we have done that betray Him, that abandon Him, and brokenhearted we come to Him so that He can turn us around and have our life move in a direction that unites us to Him by the things that we do in the world. A very practical way of spiritual life, but one that requires absolute honesty as far as what truly is in our heart. Examine your heart. See where your treasure is. Do you believe in Christ at the center of who and what you are? And do you repent of disbelief? Lord, help my disbelief. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.